When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of our full moon edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the brand new 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen and Watch on that website, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. All right, we have just gotten started. We are updating with our favorite ladies of the high desert of Arizona, and by golly, they're on a mission again. They're going to save the world, so we're going to find out how. So welcome back to Animal World, Dee and Willa. Good morning again.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, so who's going to tell us about this huge project you're doing and what's it all about and all of that?
Oh, take it, Willa.
Drum roll, please. All right, okay. Take it away, Willa.
I'll give you a quick update on coming back from the, and you'll understand why, coming back last year from the fire, from having to evacuate.
Yeah.
We stayed with friends down by Payson area, and they have a they also have a horse rescue.
Uh-huh.
Needless to say, we came back with more than we went down with.
Hey, that's right. You brought some horses back with you, didn't you?
We did. We came back with halflingers.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
And these halflingers are part of our program now so that we do not have to use a tractor to turn the compost. I'm in process of making plans for a Fresno to be pulled with the horses.
What's that?
It's a piece of equipment that has been used for years, pulled behind horses to...
I thought Fresno was in California or something. Jeez.
Actually, I think that's where it was originally developed.
Okay.
But it's used to turn dirt.
Hmm.
Well, we're using it to turn the compost piles, so that we don't have to impact the land with a tractor.
Now, for people that don't know, halflingers are a breed of horse, and they're like Palomino colored. You brought home a couple of boys, young boys.
Yes, we do.
Palomino colored, and they're kind of like draft type horses, aren't they?
They are.
And you were, I think when we left off, weren't you? They were being taught how to pull and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have a mare now also.
Oh, a mare halflinger?
Yes.
Are you going to have baby halflingers?
Yes, we are.
Oh, my.
When the boys are old enough, we will breed one of them. We'll keep one a stallion and geld one.
Yeah, it's tough to have two stallions together, even if they're brothers.
Actually, I've always had stallions together.
Oh, of course you have, Willie. You know, miracle workers you are.
I used to work a four up, a four in hand, actually. They were all stallions.
Wow. Wow.
But at any rate, so that's a little bit of news there. So we're looking for other ways to have to find alternatives to tractors rather than impacting, you know, the land and compacting the soil.
Yeah.
So the major project that we're working on is a type of greenhouse. But it's not just a greenhouse. It's incorporated into a full farmstead. So what we're doing is looking at a fish run down the center And we're looking at aquaponics. So we'll have multi-level growing coming down each side of the greenhouse, growing walls. And at the opposite end, we will have a fodder system. Now, what the fodder system is a way to feed livestock, whether the livestock is being used to produce milk for human consumption or produce meat for human consumption. Everything we are doing is non-GMO, open-pollinated natural grains fed in a natural way. We're not using any chemicals. So the water from the fish is being recirculated to feed the fodder system, and the vegetables being grown for human consumption and animal consumption. And the organisms that the fish excrete and grow in the water that is being used to fertilize all of the other plants that we're growing. Now, what the fodder is a system that is a series of trays, and grains can be laid out in those trays after being soaked. And the grains sprout within 6 to 7 days up to about a 6-inch height. Now, the top of the grains are greens, for instance, barley, and the green portion provides nutrients and enzymes for the animals, and also the bottom mat, which is the seed layer, the root system, is where all of the protein is. So that's one of the reasons it's harvested between 6 and 7 days. It's at its peak for nutritional value. So these are called biscuits, and they're rolled up. They can be in trays. The easiest to handle is about 4 foot long by about 2 foot wide. They're rolled up, and they're fed right away to any kind of livestock.
Hmm.
Now,
Willa, can I jump in here for just a minute?
Yes.
Just a little bit of background on this. I am not mechanical or engineering or scientific in the least. It's just not even my realm of thinking. But Willa is very good at these things, mm-hmm. and we have been studying over the last year various systems from around the world. Australia has had very severe droughts for about 10 years now, and we're having severe drought problems in this country also. Texas is a good example of that. It's been devastated, mm-hmm. and no telling whether that cattle industry will ever recover. But what's really revolutionary about what we're looking at is that we're developing a system that it's weather-protected. It's so that you're not constantly at the mercy of I got distracted by the antelope in the meadow.
Isn't that interesting?
You're not at the mercy of the of the erratic climate changes that are going on at this point in time. And the animal feed is green. Animal feed availability has been getting tougher and tougher. Up here, it's very erratic. In the winter, you don't know for sure if the feed stores are going to have stuff or when, and the price just keeps going up and up.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's many advantages to this green growing system, and one of them is that it's less expensive than feeding traditional conventional feeds.
It's also healthier.
The animals are eating healthy food. And so what we are working on is integrating the aquaponic system and the fodder system into one enclosed unit. And if anyone's interested in looking at concepts about aquaponics, you can find lots of stuff on YouTube. But Will Allen's Growing Power Aquaponics will give you a real good concept of how that system can function. And then there's various types of fodder systems that are hardly in use in this country. And some of the downfalls we've seen with those systems is that a lot of them seem to be in, like, big metal trailers, like you would haul around on a semi. Well, that's great, I guess, for moving the system around. But it's not the least bit natural. It's using artificial lighting, artificial chemicals. Climate control is, all electric bill and heating and cooling. And so we've been working on designing a natural system that uses passive solar and alternative energies and integrates the fodder, the feed for the animals, into the same system with growing the feed for the humans. So there, Willa, that's my two cents on it.
Well, the other side of this is that we're talking about natural foods and foods that are healthier, not only for humans, but also for the animals. Grazers, for instance, are being fed dried haze because that's what's available, and they need to be grown and harvested in one area and then shipped to another area. This is an opportunity for fresh feed to be raised and fed daily. Now, one of the major concerns about developing this system was power usage. So what we're doing is we're using passive solar, we're using solar cells, also wind-generated energy. We're using methane. And methane, you know, is not only developed from trash, from degrading matter, but it's in your septic tanks. It's in the septic systems. So there are heating units now that have been developed to run on methane. Methane can be pumped directly from the septic tank.
Wow.
To run these heating systems. So we're talking about self-contained units that run year-round to grow food for humans and animals in a healthy manner. Now, the other thing that can be used, and we're really encouraging people to do this, diesel engines, especially older diesel engines and the old three-cylinder China diesels that have been being brought over from China for years to run tractors, small tractors that are used on small farms and in larger area homes that have very large gardens. They can be run on cooking oil. Cooking oil is the same viscosity as diesel fuel when it's heated. So it can actually be put into a separate tank. There are many systems on the market now that are not terribly expensive. There are plans out there. If you're handy, you can install your own system. And it can be not only used in diesel vehicles, which we will be using in our diesel truck for delivery purposes in the area. So we'll be able to deliver feed without impacting the environment as dramatically as using a diesel truck. We're picking up cooking oil from local restaurants that would have to pay an exorbitant fee. There are mom-and-pop restaurants in farming areas, and they have to have that cooking oil hauled away. Well, we can haul that cooking oil away, filter it in a 5-micron filter, and use it to run our vehicles, not only our vehicles, but also our engines that we've set up to pump our diesel engine to pump water and to run our generator to create our own power. So now I can take a breath.
So did you catch all that, Martha?
Briefly summarized, what we're looking at is a system that can be built up or scaled down according to the need in an area. And although the prototype is in process of being a little bit more costly to build, there are so many advanced systems out there now that can be incorporated into this, that this is just a foundational building block for what can be done as the future progresses, if we care about this planet.
Yeah, so am I understanding it correctly that you are creating this kind of a system there on your place?
Yes.
Okay, and large enough that it won't just take care of you, but others around you?
Many, many others around us.
And then I assume, because, you know, we talked about, in fact, I still have it up on current events, that, Willa, you do consulting.
Yes, I do.
At homesteadingconsultant.com.
Yes.
About you know, helping people, you know, grow and do this kind of stuff, you know, at home for themselves on a smaller basis.
Absolutely.
But this is part of all of that, that you guys are going to create this big whole thing there that's going to take care of you and everybody around you, and then you would branch out what and teach others how to do this around the country
and
the world, or whatever, or
yes.
Is that the plan?
Yes, and be willing to go help others set up systems, especially on the reservations up here. There, you know, there's a great need for water conservation and for food. We have food deserts all over this country, let alone all over the world. And right in the heart of Brooklyn was one of the major food deserts in the middle of a city and in the heart of Cleveland. And now that these systems have been developed, not our system particularly, but there are systems going in that allow people to grow food. They're tearing up concrete from and blacktop from old parking lots and abandoned buildings in the middle of cities now to be able to put in community gardens. They're doing water collection from rainwater, recirculating water, gray water. There's a lot that can be done, but we can't sit on our butts anymore and say, well, I'd like to, but, you know, I really can't do this or I can't do that. We've got to be proactive. We are at a time in our universal cycle that if we are to survive physically, emotionally, spiritually, we need to think minute to minute, what are we doing? What is our intent? We need to begin to focus a positive energy and take positive steps in what we do on a daily basis, minute to minute. Where is our heart? What do we believe? What do we want for our future? Why are we allowing the wars? Why?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now.
Well, we're getting there little by little. And what I want to know now is, where are y'all in this process?
We are in the process of working with an architect and an engineer, putting my systems that I've developed onto and all of the schematics into a form that can be built. It has to go on paper first.
Oh, okay.
To scale. Which is what we're doing now, and getting it approved so that we can begin building.
All right. Now,
we are, Martha, we are also starting a funding campaign for people who want to participate in supporting the creation of this prototype and getting these systems up and running.
Well, that was going to be my next question, is undoubtedly you need some funds to be able to put this all together, and you could use some help with that.
We've got kind of a three-prong approach right now. We're working on putting together a full business proposal that will be going out to potential investors and funders. That's going to take a little bit longer to put together all the details.
Mm-hmm.
But in the meantime, there's two other things that we're doing. For one thing, on the homesteading consultant page, I'd say in the next 48 hours we'll have a PayPal button up there that leads directly to a way that people can contribute to supporting this project if they want to do so. The other thing that we're doing, I don't know if people are familiar with Indiegogo.com, but it is, I don't know how to explain this shortly. It's a funding site that uses mass consciousness and mass support for projects. And anybody can post any kind of project up there that they want to and ask for people to chip in and support it. It's really amazing, because instead of running to the bank for money, you post these things up online and people can say, yeah, I really believe in that. I'll donate $10, or I want to contribute and support this project. And the projects range anywhere from a few hundred dollars to, you know, $50,000, depending on what people are trying to do.
Wow.
And millions of people get on there, and you can donate $10, you can donate $5,000, you know. So it just is, it's a new kind of vehicle for funding projects. And the projects range from anything like food and agriculture to community or small business. Or it started out as an arts funding to help people get films and progressive artwork. So it's actually indie, as in indie film festivals and that sort of thing. And it's spelled Indiegogo, G-O-G-O. So it's Indiegogo.com.
Okay, I-N-D-I-E.
G-O-G-O.
G-O-G-O. So Indie, I-N-D-I-E, G-O-G-O .com, did you say?
Yes. Now, Jay and I are working on developing that page. It's not up yet, but hopefully we'll have it up in 48 hours or so.
Oh, okay. So the way to contribute and help Dee and Willa with this project is go to www.homesteadingconsultant.com. There is a link to that website in the current events section of Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com, you know, about their consulting practice. And they'll have a PayPal button. Now, I was going to say, just for any of you listening that, you know, can't do internet, can't do PayPal, you're welcome to send a check to the Dee and Willa Fund, send it to, you know, the Animal World mailing address, and I'll send it on down to them. You know, and so we can send them, you know, little bits of money that way. The answer is yes.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate your support, Martha. If people look on the Indie site, you're not going to find us yet. It'll be another few days.
Right.
I'd say the PayPal button will be on.
So the PayPal button on the homesteadingconsultant.com won't be up for a couple of days. Also on the Indiegogo.com. Now, but before we end, and of course, it sounds like we're going to have to update this, ladies. We're just going to have to talk to you more often from time to time now that we're back into the springtime and all of that. But before we end, because I want to end by the bottom of the hour because I got a bunch of stuff to do. And by the way, caller, you want to know about the dog attack and stuff. I'll fill you in that on that later. But we've got a caller on the line. Mike, can we bring up a third caller and keep everybody there? Dee and Willow, we've got a listener calling. Well, there we go.
Wow.
Let's see. Fatima, welcome to Animal World. You're live with Willa and Dee. Did you have a question for the ladies? I'm hearing a strange echo in my ears.
Yeah, I think we lost her.
No, I'm here.
Oh, there
okay,
you are.
Hi. I'm here. Just a second.
Turn your radio down, please.
I did. Okay, hello.
Hello.
Yes, I just came into possession, Willa and Dee, of two copies, just in the last couple of days, of two copies of Rural Heritage magazine. One is the current issue, and one is from December-January, and the December-January is just a wonderful, wonderful issue, and it's just right down your alley. I don't know if you are familiar with it, if you subscribe to it already or what, but I'd love to mail it to you, to your home, if it's possible.
Wonderful. Could you tell me the name of it again?
What's the name of it, Carlene?
Rural Heritage.
World Heritage?
No, Rural. R-U-R-A-L.
Rural. Rural. R-U-R-A-L Heritage.
Both issues have the front cover photograph of drivers of draft horses doing work. Working farms.
Have you got something to write with?
Yes.
Okay. Dee and Willa, do you have a post office box or a mailing address that she can use to send?
We really don't have one set up yet for that kind of thing. But could she possibly send it to you, Martha?
That's what I'm thinking.
All right.
Send it to the Animal World address, Carlene, 19916 Old Owen Road. 19916 Old Owen Road, number 251. And that's Monroe, Washington, 98272. Monroe, Washington, 98272. And then I will mail it on down to Dee and Willa.
Thank you so much, ladies. I'm so glad you're all feeling better.
Thank you.
And you know, Fatima.
Thank you.
Fatima, you know that I have money for you, so you need to
I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. She thinks I won't recognize her.
I was going to ask for her email address and phone number.
She
so
doesn't have one. She doesn't have one, Dee. But she will send me the Rural Heritage. She does come up with some great information. That's why we want to help her. But anyway, for whatever reason, she had to jet. But I can tell you she doesn't do computer or email or that sort of thing. But she will get those magazines in the mail to me, and then I can, you know, forward them on down to you.
That's great. Thank her for it.
Well,
so
she
much.
Sounds
That's
like
great.
A very interesting individual.
Oh, well, she yeah. is. She's very interesting and has been a long, long, long-term Animal World listener. But it's like, oh, come on, give me a break. You don't think we're all going to recognize your voice? I mean, she calls with all kinds of different names, but we all know who she is. She doesn't need to be so shy. We love her, and she just had some mishaps recently. A lot of her belongings were burned and so forth, and so Robin and I have been raising a little money to help her. And so anyway, I think she's a little shy and doesn't like to call attention to herself. But, you know, it's okay. She gives us great.
So how can we help?
Well, we're just doing a little fun. You guys don't need to help. Robin and I have it covered, and Ajie's contributing, and so is Kathy, and we've got some money to help her out. But at any rate, what we want to do is help you two out, because for heaven's sakes, you're feeding the whole world. And
yes.
So folks, if you'd like to contribute a little or a lot to Dee and Willa and this incredible process that they are beginning, and that's going to be able to address the drought issues and feeding animals and humans. First there locally in the Southwest, but then it's a plan that's going to be able to then be shared, you know, around the planet, which really is phenomenal. Now, what Dee and Willa have said, their website is homesteadingconsultant.com. And if you're someplace that you can't write this stuff down, don't worry about it. Get to your computer when you get home. Go to marthanorwalk.com. Click on current events. And if you scroll down a little way, there is a listing about a greener future on planet Earth and contact for the homesteading.com for Willa's consulting stuff. And the website link is there. Now, you got to wait because Dee doesn't have it up yet, but there will be a PayPal link on that website in a couple of days or so that you can donate that way. And then the other website, the Indiegogo.com, you won't be posted there for another couple days or so. But what goes on at that website again, Dee?
It's an avenue to be able to contribute to projects, okay. Many projects across the globe.
So you'll be listed on that one, too.
It's an easy way to contribute. If you look on that site to find us, it will be under Fresh Greens, Fish, and Fodder.
Fresh.
On the Indiegogo.com.
Fresh Green, Fish, and Fodder. And that'll be on the Indie, I-N-D-I-E-Go-Go, Indiegogo.com. And Dee, once you get these links up, you could email me the details again, and then I could have Rhonda Indigo Dog put those details in our current events listing for you guys.
Will do.
Instead
That's
of
great.
Just the homesteading.com business, we can update that listing. That listing, you just have to let me know. And then in the meantime,
great.
Folks, if you just want to send some money, you can send a check to the Dee and Willa Fund and send it to Martha Norwalk's Animal World, to the Animal World mailing address, which is 19916 Old Owen Road, number 251, and that's in Monroe, 98272. That address is on the website. MarthaNorwalk.com if you can't write it down. And now we got something else to keep track of. What's going on down there in the high desert? Because by golly, it sounds like you guys are years ahead of yourselves and helping create a wonderful future where we'll be able to provide really good fresh greens and fish and fodder to all of us. And gosh, it's been so fun to chat with you two again.
Well, it's great, Martha. Thank you.
And it's been great to be able to share.
All righty. And I know one of our callers had a question about some other stuff we talked about earlier, but I can update that. I know you guys have work to get to, and I'm going to let you go, and I've got some other stuff to follow up on. But let's stay in touch. We'll hope that some income comes your way to help with these projects, and then we'll just have to update from time to time so you can keep us apprised of how the project is going.
Great.
Thank you so much, Martha.
And thank you to everyone.
Oh, you're welcome. And we love you bunches. And we'll check on these websites in the next couple of days.
Wonderful.
All right.
Thank you,
ladies. Until we talk again. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Aren't they fabulous?
Yeah.
Gosh, you just got to love them. All right. Well, we've got, interesting here from one of our listeners. You know what Willa was talking about. It says, just lost a dear friend who was vital. He had come home from an opera trip to Houston, fell in his home and wasn't discovered for 2 days, then went to the hospital and died 2 days later. It was a rumor that it might be sepsis since he had just had a knee replacement several weeks ago. Yeah, which is, that can happen. And that's why, Willa gave us some really good advice about, that surgical scrub bath and being insistent and that the surgeon supported her. And that's really something else. Our listener also says on the ladybugs, she used to do major climbing and such peculiar and unique things occurred. 1 year when we got to the top of Sloan Peak, 7,835 feet, and ladybugs covered all the exposed rock. She never saw so many, she says. Interesting on that ladybug stuff. She said another year went above Blewett Pass, and we were getting up for a climb, and a, quote, rabble swarm of butterflies came floating over the pass. You could hear the soft sound. There were so many. Nature is amazing. And remember a story that I did in the Animals in the News at one point was about the butterflies migrating to South America? Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, incredible. Incredible. Thanks for that. Thanks for that, Freya. Excellent. All right. Okay, let's take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time today. Most important part of the show. Please listen, support them. Say thank you. And then we'll come back and get ready. We'll go to woo-woo land. To start with. So some follow-up, G-Man and Red Dragon. And if we can get to it, the medical stuff, more Pluckner stuff. And stay with me. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend. And Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. Visit Jones & Company. You'll find them on State Avenue in Marysville or give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Tune in to Manson Mitchell at our new times.
Friday mornings at 10 and back by popular demand. Saturdays at 11 a.m.
Weekday or weekend, the A-Team of Alternative Talk brings you good gab and great guests.
We make talk radio fun again with topics from pop culture to the paranormal with a little politics on the side.
That's Manson Mitchell, now Friday at 10 a.m. and back on Saturday morning at 11 on Alternative Talk 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Learn animal massage and check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and the exciting new manual ligament therapy series. Go to nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 206-463-1425. That's 206-463-1425. Or check them out on Facebook.
This is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I'd like to talk to you about Robin Alexis. Although I liked Robin right away, I was skeptical at first. But let me tell you, that was unwarranted, and now I believe that Robin is the real deal. Often referred to as the metaphysical mother, Robin's a spiritual empowerment coach with incredible gifts. Robin's a medium, ghost and baby whisperer, medical intuitive, past life reader, animal communicator, and channel. In addition to being a radio and TV personality and author, she's also a Reiki master teacher. Simply put, Robin is amazing. I know because she's been helping me incredibly on many levels. Robin is nurturing, powerful, and did I say phenomenally gifted? Robin can help you too. Her books and personal one-on-one phone readings can change your life forever. Let Robin help you heal and release those blockages so you can experience life more fully. To schedule a reading, go to robinalexis.com, and while you're there, download a free copy of the first two chapters of her new book. That's robinalexis.com, or give her a call at 360-457-2993. That's 360-457-2993.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
I'm Martha Norwalk, and I'm sorry to say we're winding down this edition of Animal World, but you can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. And wherever I get to today, you know, we'll pick up with it next weekend. I just want to address caller called and about, you know, Willa's story about being attacked by the dog and want to know why she was attacked and what happened to the dog. Well, we did talk about all of that on the air previously, but if you missed that, remember that they do a lot of dog rescuing. They had rescued a very large breed of protection type herding working dog. And they have a female they rescued at a young age. They still have her, and they were able to rehabilitate her behaviorally. Two of her litter mates, two males, showed up later on death row, and they decided to rescue those two males. Now, that was against the advice of the rescuers, of the vets, you know, and Dee and Willa, Willa really thought she could rehabilitate them, all they were much older than the female. And I believe that those dogs are all Pleckner dogs, which is the Pleckner syndrome, the endocrine immune imbalance. And extreme and irrational aggression can be a behavioral effect of the Pleckner imbalance, and it manifests in what used to be called rage syndrome, which I now call flash aggression. Well, these dogs had that. Now, off the air, Dee and Will and I had lots and lots of conversation and so forth. I would lay money on the table. These dogs were Pleckner syndrome dogs and they had been badly abused, which is a really bad combination. And the bottom line is, Dee and Willa barely have a you-know-what-to-pee-in, or a pot to you-know-what-in of their own, and we've been supporting them to help with on all kinds of levels, and they're great people, but with all the rescue work they do, they don't have a fortune to spend on the animals, and they did not have the money to test these dogs and treat them, you know, and it's lifelong treatment, and there's so much involved, and these were dogs huge enough that they were life-threatening for other animals on the property as well as Dee and Willa. And what happened is Willa was alone by herself with the dogs, and something happened to trigger one of them, and it displaced the aggression on Willa. and knocked her over. Fortunately, she knows how, you know, being raised an animal, she knew how to protect herself. So it was her left hand and arm that took the brunt of the attack until, you know, she was, but it was, you know, during the winter and the snow and ice and all that kind of stuff. And at any rate, you know, Dee found her and, you know, rushed to the emergency room and yada, 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 and all of that. And then the short end of the long story is after much commiseration and heart-wrenching discussions with the vets, with the rescues down there, with me, it was all of our advice that for the highest good of both the souls of these dogs and Dee and Willa and their other animals that they should be humanely euthanized, and they were. Now, Willa didn't want to do it, Dee didn't want to do it, but they really had no option. They really had no option. So that's the long and short of it. And that's why we need to know more about the Pluckner syndrome and less expensive ways to diagnose and treat it and more people getting on board, and especially breeders so that we can breed it out of the animals and all that kind of stuff. And I'm right in the middle of all of that. I don't know if I'll get to it here today, but I do want to let you know what's going on. Oh, we got to have that woo-woo music ready. Here we go, folks. As I've already told you, I am off the cliff. And I'm even farther off now. And just quickly to catch you up for any of you that don't know, and you'll have to go back to the archives to hear all of the stories, but since I, my previous Abyssinian kitties that I love dearly started coming back in new little Abyssinian suits, my oldest Abyssinian G-Man is my big, almost 15-year-old blue boy. When Ping and Pong and Buzzy came into the picture, these little ruddy boys, he was not able to actively play and romp with them, and it caused him great sadness and longing, and he kept telling me he wanted a new hot little Abyssinian body because he wanted to play with his friends and all of that. I didn't agree for a long time, and then eventually his sadness opened my heart. I said, okay. You know, the real woo-woo stuff is, I said, he didn't want to do it the way they did and leave his body and then wait for another one and come back. He wanted to do it very quickly. And, you know, I have shared the whole story in great detail only because I just always tell you the truth. And I want you to know what's going on, whether it happens or not. You know, maybe you'll all think I'm nuts, or you still will, but at least, you know, I'm telling you the truth, and you can go with me for entertainment purposes or whatever. But anyway, he decided that he wanted me to start body shopping for his new body, which I did. He decided that he wanted to be different again. Instead of being a ruddy Abyssinian, that first to be a blue boy, which he is now. And I said, well, I've already been a blue boy. Breeder isn't breeding any blues, but she's doing some reds. How about being a red? He got really excited about a red. We've never had a red. I got excited. So we picked the color. The breeder had litters. I picked out the kitten that we wanted. And G-Man said that really threw me then. He said, well, when we found the kittens in the oven of the one we wanted, I said, well, you better speed up the deal if you're going to be gone and get into one of those kittens. He says, well, I'm not going to do it that way. I don't want to, you know, he said, I want the body already. And so then we engaged Chico, which is the soul that Robin and I ran into that helped my other cats switch out into their new bodies. And like I said, if you're not understanding the story here, you're going to have to go back to the archives and listen, or catch next week. We'll go into a little more detail. But at any rate, he said, I want the new body here because I want to teach it some stuff before I go in, you know, before I leave this body and go into that body. And I said, give me a break because it won't be you and you can't. He says, so the red kittens were born. I picked out, he told me the name is going to be, since it's the year of the dragon, it will be Red Dragon. Bring it home. I brought Red Dragon home, what, a couple weeks ago now? Probably at least a couple weeks ago. Yeah, because I brought him home at a little over 8 weeks, and he's getting close to it. So a couple weeks ago, Red Dragon came home. And it's been an interesting process watching that. It's been totally different than any other kitten I've ever had. The last was two Robin and Martha Sundays previously that went on the air. Previously to being on the air, Robin and I both separately and together had communicated with G-Man. And he had told us that... we were to bring Red Dragon home. I was to bring Red Dragon home, that when he was comfortable, then he would be able to easily pass away on his own, gently, without my help, because I told him I ain't helping you. I ain't euthanizing you for this. I'll support you and get you another body, but I'm not, you know, I won't do that. He said he'd be able to slip out of that body and then slip in to the Red Dragon body. And... while we were telling that story to Robin and Martha Sundays ago, not the last one, 2 weeks ago, the one before, we got an anonymous call that Aja, you took, and the caller didn't tell you who they were on the air. But the message was that this person felt that the transition was going to take place on May 13th. Well, I had, which is next Sunday. I had not told, we had not talked, Robin and I had both forgotten about it, and we hadn't said anything on the air. So this was, you know, obviously an intuitive or psychic impression from this listener. So once you gave me the message, I read it on air, then we told you that G-Man had told Robin and I a few days before that he was going to transition on Mother's Day. But I had forgotten about it and didn't look on the calendar. I had Mike on the air say, look at the calendar. When's Mother? Oh, it's May 13th. Well, you know, I had said at the time, G-Man, are you kidding? Mother's Day? Criminy sakes, that means I'm going to have to deal with your deceased blue boy body when you move in on Mother's Day? And and he said, well, did you? You know, he was kind of vague about all of that. So anyway, now... got the blue book, got the Red Dragon home, still have G-Man, who's still alive and well at this point. I had told him I would not discontinue any of his medications and stuff because he does have Pleckner syndrome. And he said he's not going to die of Pleckner syndrome. He says his heart's just going to stop. Anyway, so two Sundays ago, it was another Robin and Martha Sunday. And while Robin and I were talking about it on the air, those of you that are following the story, you'll remember that G-Man said at that time that, and Chico, who's the switch-out soul, Chico came in the Red Dragon body. He's holding that body for G-Man. And then, and he told us at that time it was a lot harder than he thought. He'd never really done this before. He'd just helped with switch-outs. He hasn't had to stay in a physical body this long, and it was wearing him out. And he said he's taking a break. He's not doing any of this work for a while after he's done with this project. He's going to rest for a while. Anyway, we were told on the air, we were starting to get that they were going to start switching in and out with each other. And I said, well, am I going to know? And it was, yeah, you'll know. But we didn't get a whole lot more details than that. Okay, so what you need to know is that after that show 2 weeks ago, both Robin and I separately and together have tuned in, have talked with G-Man and Chico about what the heck is going on. Okay, now what we were told after that show within the next few days... and again, this was separately and together. G-Man explained that what they were going to do was switch in and out with each other, back and forth in between bodies, and that I would know when G-Man was in the Red Dragon body and Chico was in the Blue Boy body. It would be obvious to me. And that they were going to do that until they were comfortable. Then what they were going to do is permanently switch. G-Man would move, because G-Man said he wasn't going to, he was going to work through all his karma and all that, you know, after death you leave your body and have to life review and all that stuff. He was going to do that now so that he didn't have to go up, out and up and then back in, so that he could kind of go sideways, slip right into Red Dragon and just keep living. Okay, that Chico would then go into the G-Man Blue Boy body, and then once Chico was in the G-Man Blue Boy body, that Blue Boy body would just get weaker and weaker very quickly and would gently expire. Okay, That was the details we were given after that show. Now, what I can tell you that's happened since then is for a while I didn't see anything in terms of were they switching back and forth. But I can tell you now that up until prior to yesterday, prior to this morning, there were two times when it was obvious to me they had swapped out. When I'm sitting in my chair, easy chair in the evening watching TV, G-Man will come in and he sits in the chair with me. And instead of laying on my lap like all my other cats have always done and do, he lays on my left side and stretches out on the chair right next to me, and sometimes puts a little bit of his head and paws on my leg. But he lays on the left side of my body. Little Red Dragon, of course, you know, he's an 8-week-old kitten bouncing off the walls and just, you know, a P and V model. Oh, I know. I've got a better phrase for that, Mike. A spit and vinegar model. How about that? Spit and vinegar model all over the place. I have a big cylindrical climbing scratching post that's kind of close to me when I'm sitting in that chair, and he spends a lot of his time in that and on top of it. Well, one evening, G-Man came in while I was watching TV, or excuse me, Red Dragon came in, and instead of he's always playing, you know, he's not, 8-week-old Abyssinian kittens are not lap models. He doesn't sit in my lap and spend time. Okay, he comes up on my chair. He spends the whole evening on the chair with me, and he spreads out on my left side on the chair right next to me, just like G-Man does. This is this 8-week-old. It's like, wow. Now, eventually, G-Man comes in, and the blue body comes in, and he goes to that tall cylindrical climbing post, and he sits there and looks at it. He actually reaches up and puts his paws on it. And I can see he's going that it's Chico, and he's saying, oh, shoot, I can't get up there in this body. And so he just, climb. But I knew it was G-Man in the Red Dragon, and it was Chico in the blue body. That was the first time. Now, then what you know, G-Man always sleeps on the bed with me at night. And eventually, when it gets a little cool, he crawls under the covers and gets underneath my armpit. And then he curls right up in my armpit and motors like crazy until he falls asleep again. And that's why he stays there the rest of the night. Well, yesterday morning or the morning before, I don't know, we got cool at night. And G-Man was nowhere to be found on the bed. Red Dragon got on the bed and came in and crawled under and got in my armpit. And curled right in there and motored like crazy until he fell asleep. So I felt like they had swapped out at that point. Now, yesterday, Saturday, this is just all came, just in time for radio. G-Man told Robin that he and this was Friday. G-Man told Robin and I at the same time that he and Chico were getting pretty good at swapping in and out. They were comfortable with the process of swapping in and out. Mm-hmm. And that I knew it was happening, which was true. Now, yesterday, I'm thinking, oh, shoot, next week is Mother's Day. And I'm thinking, G-Man is now. Sometimes when Chico's in the blue body, it looks like it's getting old and wearing down. But you know, there's nothing going on. And the other really funny stuff. I'm thinking, you know, Mother's Day's coming up. Geez, am I just gonna wake up and he's dead next Sunday, or is he gonna be dead when I get home, or what's gonna go on? You know, all this. Woo. Well, then all of a sudden, the details came yesterday. And what G-Man told me, that the plan was, yes, we were right. The transition is going to take place on the 13th, Mother's Day. But what the deal is, now that they swapped in and out, remember the plan, they were going to swap permanently, and then the blue boy body would just fade away. The permanent transition is going to take place next Sunday. That's what they're telling us now. Now, they told each of us separately, okay, that this is going to happen. So what I believe now is that next Sunday, the permanent transition, it'll be G in Red Dragon, it'll be Chico in the Blue Boy body, and then the Blue Boy body will deteriorate pretty rapidly and pass. But it's just the transition of the souls on a permanent basis next Sunday. Okay. Now, the next problem that's cropped up, it's something was unusual has been going on with the Red Dragon, and that is when he gets into the cat box to pee and poop. He's fine when he pees, but when he poops, he cries. He meows when he's getting ready to poop, and he cried when he pooped. And I'm trying to figure out, now, what's going on? And I would tune in. There's nothing physically wrong. And I call in Robin. I had her tune in. And she said, well, in just what I was getting, we both got from it. He just doesn't want to poop. And he holds on to it for so long that when he does go, it's so huge, it's painful. Well, and then I figured it out. What's going on? G-Man, at almost 15, has had bowel problems for quite some time, and it is uncomfortable for him to go, and he doesn't go very often. Well, when he switched into the Red Dragon body, okay, he was he didn't want to go because he thought it would be unpleasant. So he's been holding it and not going. So I had to explain to him yesterday, look it. The Red Dragon body is perfectly healthy. It functions fine. When you're in that body, you need to poop regularly. Don't, you know, stop holding it and poop on a regular basis. It won't hurt. It'll be fine. Okay? You cannot don't take the same expectations. Remember, that's a young, healthy body. You haven't had one for a long time, but that's what it is. Well, really strange. Woo, 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 woo. I did all this with G-Man myself yesterday. I get an email from Robin last night because I emailed her after it happened to tell her what had gone down. And then she emailed me back, said she had been told to go back to the computer and turn on her computer because she wanted to email me that G-Man had come to her and told her that he got it and he can't take his G-Man, his Blue Boy stuff into the Red Dragon body because it's healthy. And so, and then Robin was cracking up because when she turned on her computer, she got the email from me telling her all of this stuff. So we confirmed each other. So that's where we are. G-Man is now. I'll let you know next week if he's pooped regularly in the Red Dragon body this week and what goes out with the swapolas and all that sort of stuff. But that's where we are. Now, we're just about out of time, and I didn't have time to let you know what's going on with the Pleckner syndromes and my other cat and all of that kind of stuff. But we'll get to that. Maybe we'll get to that next week or certainly our next Behavior Training and Healing Sunday. Remember, next week is a Robin and Martha Sunday. More updates. It is Mother's Day, but we don't expect the Blue Boy to die, just the transition soul vibration to go, and we'll fill you in on that. I want to say thank you, Mike. Thank you, Aji. Thank you, Kathy. And you have a wonderful Mother's Day, Kathy, and we'll see you in two. And as always, let me remind you, animals have feelings too. So treat your animal friends better than family, and please always be kind to open your heart and share your love with all living things. And we'll talk to you again next week.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.